You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We're joined, as we are each week about this time, by Diana West, a longtime syndicated columnist, now blogging at dianawest.net. Also, check out her two terrific books, Death of the Grown-Up and American Betrayal. Diana, it's so good to have you with us. There's a lot to talk about. Let's get to it. Welcome, first of all, and tell me what your thoughts are on Susan Rice and revelations that she may have been engaged in, well, what amounts to, it seems, political warfare against the Trump candidacy.
No, thank you, Frank. Yes, I think political warfare is the best way to think of this. When we watch the Obama team or the Hillary team or the Democrats, all in all the same, speak about this, they always jump right to this notion that there was no malfeasance, that there was no laws broken. This is not the issue at this point. What we have learned, which is highly incendiary, even if the media has decided in their new role as agitprop clearing house for the left, that this is a diversionary tactic. I've never heard media talk this way. It's highly, highly alarming.
Partisan, but in their, to say the least, yeah.
Partisan in a way that's beyond partisan, because they're actually taking the role of censor. They're not just reproducing what was given to them by a censor. They are themselves sitting in censoring role over the news. So they call it a diversionary tactic because they say there's no laws broken. Well, no one needs to allege that. She certainly had the power to call for the unmasking of names collected in intelligence surveillance. However, let's get to the point of what she was doing. If there indeed exist spreadsheets, as Joseph DeGeneva has said, if there is a pattern here, if there is not this notion of incidental collection. I mean, if you've got a spreadsheet, I don't think that's incidental.
Especially if this has been going on for a year, for crying out loud. That certainly suggests a very systemic program. Diana, let me ask you about another character who seems to be playing a rather prominent role in the political warfare against the Trump administration, from senior official positions in the Obama administration, and that is one Andrew McCabe, who remains, amazingly, the deputy director of the FBI. We're told by the Washington Free Beacon today that he has been entrusted with an intensified effort under an expanded FBI unit to look at the evidence of Russian intervention in the 2013 election. Remind us what we know about McCabe and whether this sounds like a sensible appointment in light of that.
Well, we know for a fact that he wears a black hat in terms of any sort of nonpartisan investigatory role, given his contributions to Hillary Clinton's campaign, given all manner of discussion of his own partisan feelings and lethal intentions toward the Trump administration that have been reported. But the bigger question for me here is how this man continues on in this job, certainly at the prerogative of the FBI director, which begs another question, how both of them continue on in this job, which begs the larger question is, what is Congress, the Republican Congress, going to do about this situation? You can't have partisans investigating a political affair. There's nothing behind the scenes here. We are all privy to the reality of this man's political feelings. And in this highly charged atmosphere, it is the nth degree of inappropriate, to say the least, that's the lowest level adjective I would invoke, for him to remain in such a position in this highly charged atmosphere. But it goes to the Republicans holding Congress. Do they want this to continue? Because if they do, it will. If they don't, something can be done about it by bringing pressure. They control both houses. That has to be a lever of power here. And you have to then wonder, what are they going to do about it? And if nothing, why? And that takes us to a larger problem.
Well, a related question is, they serve these guys, both Comey and McCabe, at the pleasure of the president, seems to me. So I would think with a phone call, he could dispense with this. Now, presumably, there would be claims that were he to terminate their service, that he is personally, again, meddling in the investigation, and that would not be something the president would want encouraged as a perception. But on the other hand, when you have people who have been so partisan and it would seem complicit in efforts to use information that's been generated by their agency, just as Susan Rice seems to have been using others' information against the Trump team, it only seems right that there be a very, very serious consideration given to their replacement. Let me ask you about one other thing, Diana. You've talked with me about it before on the show, and I was very pleased to see Congressman Scott Perry, who I know is a great fan of yours. I'm a great fan of his, chairman of the Oversight Subcommittee of the House Homeland Security Committee from Pennsylvania. He picked up on your important piece at the Daily Caller the other day about Skolkovo. Remind us quickly what you found and what Congressman Perry has now called out about that operation.
Yes, this was an exciting moment. I think it was a first. What Congressman Perry picked up on was this idea of highly sensitive technology transfer to Russia through the offices of something called Skolkovo, which is a project to create a Silicon Valley outside of Moscow that was the brainchild of Putin, Obama, and Clinton. And the added deliciousness of the story is that many of the companies, Cisco, high-tech companies involved in setting up this Silicon Valley for the Russians outside of Moscow, many of them were contributors to the Clinton Foundation. And we saw a Bill Clinton speech for $500,000 and millions of dollars and the uranium transfer, et cetera, things we've talked about over time. And what Congressman Perry did as a representative of the people was take it to the level of discussing, was this in America's best interest to transfer high technology to Russia, which used to be the Soviet Union? And one of the benefits of this technology to Russia was the development of hypersonic missiles, which is something I've called, and I think with perfect appropriateness, Hillary's Clinton's hypersonic missile gap, because it was under her stewardship that this technology transferred, and now we see this great leap forward in Russian and Chinese military capabilities.
Threatening us, let we be clear. We have essentially no defense against these kinds of hypersonic and maneuvering warheads at the moment. Diana, this calls to mind, you mentioned China as well in this context, the previous example of foreign intervention in American electoral politics and other internal affairs by communist China under, wait for it, folks, the Clinton administration. Remind us about Chinagate, as it was called, and how this fits into the kind of topic that ought to be, I think, a main focus of this this investigation underway now by the Congress.
Chinagate, in many ways, was the precursor to Skolkovo and the Clinton Foundation. In the old days, it was a clunkier affair whereby Chinese military money went into Democratic National Committee reelect the president campaign coffers in the mid-90s. And in exchange for that, massive amounts of American military technology ended up going to China. And I will never forget the phrase of one of the investigators on this subject who basically said before Bill Clinton, the Chinese military could not hit the side of a barn. And after the Clinton administration, we have a superpower in China, a military superpower, thanks to the Clinton administration. That is the shortest possible thumbnail.
Diana, there's so much more to talk about, but we're hard out of time. I appreciate your visiting with us each week and for these insights on so many topics. We'll pick up more on this business of transferring technology and otherwise compromising national security in the name of business transactions and political enrichment with our next guest, Roger Robinson, right after this.